Hello, and welcome to another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. As always, this episode is brought to you by Koi CBD. Go to koicbd.com, use code DuddyB at checkout, save 20%. Let's do this.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling Good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go.
Hello, we are back. We are on Zoom. And we are ready to Zoom. You get it. It's episode 48, Feeling Good with Duddy. We've got an awesome guest from Maryland, I believe, calling in. Howie Spangler from Ballyhoo. And then we've got the crazy man himself, Duddy V.
Woo! That's right. You heard it. We are back here with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. And I do got to correct you, Jake.
What?
I believe this is episode 49.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, that's right, because we did a Zoom one yesterday. The Zooms are fucking zoomed out of my mind.
Episode 49. I believe episode 5 that I am doing here from the underground bunker lair, hiding out from the coronal times, 100 feet above me. I have climbed down the ladder. You guys know it. I swam through the pool of Purell. I went through the Total Recall x-ray machine, and then after that, I stuck a thermometer in my mouth and 98.8. I'm perfect. I'm ready to go.
And then he did a voluntary cavity search.
I did. I do that every time. I don't need to.
Nope.
But I have these gloves on. I might as well use them. You know what I mean? But yeah, and this is our second now Zoom meeting. So we are figuring this out. So sorry if the drops and things sound a little weird. But yeah, we're figuring this out as we go. As a saying that Cheese said one time to me that I thought was the most brilliant saying, I'm building this plane mid-flight. Give me a break.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I've never heard that, but that's exactly that's what we're doing there.
It's always stuck with me. I'm like, that's brilliant. You know, like sometimes you're just figuring it out as you go, man.
Everything I do, that's how it is.
Yep.
Because the other option is don't do anything, right? It's Duddy and I can be like, well, shit, we don't know how to do the drops. Let's not do an episode yet. That's not an option.
No.
Just do the episode. It'll figure itself out.
We've found that it's better to just continue on and laugh at ourselves during it than to just, you know, not do it at all. So we're having a good time with it. Man, what else, Jake? Anything new going on?
Well, look, not much new has happened in my world, but I wanted to remind you, Duddy, that before we started recording, you were telling me a story about your cat, which has become a murderous animal in your neighborhood. God. And I'm like, you got to tell everybody. So tell us what's been going on at your house in the last couple of days during these coronal times.
Well, my cat, yes, dude, my cat has always kind of been a hunter cat. Like, I got two cats, and one of them is just kind of like this chill-ass chubbo cat that just lounges around the pad, and like every now and then it'll go outside and roll around and then come back in. And then my other cat is like a young cat. He's probably like one, but all he wants to do is go outside and fucking hunt. And a couple days ago, he brought me a little tiny baby possum, which was surprisingly one of the fucking cutest things I've ever seen in my entire life, and it wasn't dead, so I didn't know what to do. And it was such like so young, I couldn't just like, you know, I have a big park behind my house, so obviously this is where he gets all the fucking rodents from, so I didn't want to just throw it out in the park. So I was like, this thing can't even fucking move, it's a little baby. So I literally like put it in a box, you know, put some shit in there, and I for like 2 days I kind of kept this thing, and I was literally feeding it with a little dropper. Like I read that's what you're supposed to do. So I was doing it, and I thought, like, dude, I'm going to, like, get this thing back, you know, and run it, and then I'm going to go stick him out in the ivy in the park, you know, and let him go. And then, like, all of a sudden, it was just dead. Like, I wasn't helping it. I was just prolonging his fucking poor life. He was probably like, dude, I'm in so much pain. Let me die. And I was like, so, and then I thought it was done with. It was sad, whatever. I got rid of it. And then the 2 days following it, every day I've woken up, there's been another one. 3 dead baby possums. So my cat obviously found like a nest where family just had babies, and it's just one by one picking them off. I'm just like, no, you little fucker.
It's not a story that makes you feel good, but it had to be told. I'm like, it's too insane.
And it's so sad. And like, there's so, I don't know. Yes, you've all probably seen like an adult possum, and they're fucking gnarly. They're kind of terrible.
Yeah.
They're like, ah. They make this weird ass fucking hissing noise. A baby possum is fucking adorable. I didn't realize how adorable they were, but they are. And it's sad when you see them dead.
Oh, man. So there you go. So just in case you think you're having a crappy day during the coronal times, you know, the possums behind Duddy's house are having a much worse week than you are.
Dude, and my cat just looks so proud. You know, lays there and just like licks his paw. Just, got him. Yeah. Got that little baby, just helpless animal. Dude, I got him.
That was a cat.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Howie.
That was a gift.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
The possum was a gift, and I'm taking it with me.
Yeah.
Dude, did your cat watch Tiger King? That's what I'm thinking, Duddy. You guys were watching Tiger King. The cat's sitting on your lap, and it's just getting ideas. And then, bam, because the next week, look what happened, right?
Could be. Could be what happened.
I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense to me.
I guess so. Yeah.
Well, Duddy, dude, let's introduce our guest, because he's hanging out, and he's chilling, and let's get him on the show, dude. Do your thing.
You want me to introduce him? You always do the introducing.
I know, but you guys have been touring for so long and stuff.
All right,
so.
I'll do it. What's up? We have a very good friend of mine, a touring partner, a man who also has his own podcast. This guy just hustles so much. I love his work ethic. He's always online. He's always doing something new. And we love to have people like that on the show. Give it up for Howie Spangler of Ballyhoo.
Hello, hello. What's up, guys?
Yeah.
What's up, man? How are you doing, brother?
Good, man. I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Dude, thank you so much for hopping on here. Been wanting to get Howie on the podcast for a long time, and I also have been wanting to get on his for a long time. And it's funny how sometimes you have to have a pandemic and learn how to do a podcast over Zoom to make it happen. So, you know, unfortunate circumstances, but I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah, me too, man. Finally, it's overdue for sure. I remember you called me or messaged me or something last summer, I think, and you guys were in town, but we were playing the same night somewhere else, like a couple hours away. It was in Maryland.
Yep.
Maryland was that big, but it is. I'm glad it's working out now.
Yeah, man, me too. So how are you like staying sane around the pad? I know you have kids as well. We were talking for a quick second before we started about the trials and tribulations of homeschooling. How's that treating you?
Oh man, it is crazy. It's very frustrating. You know, it's like the kids, they think because they're not in school that they can just fuck off all day and you give them work, schoolwork, and they're like, what is this? You know? And they basically, my son, he's nine. He just drags it out and makes it seem like it's the worst thing ever.
Oh yeah.
It gets us all worked up, you know, because like, you know, we're cool people and we, you know, we're good with our kids and stuff, but man, it just gets so frustrating, you know. All the parents, I'm sure, right on board with this, but it's, you know, we're trying to be good. I mean, we're trying to, like, you know, there's some parents that aren't doing this shit with their kids and they don't care if they get an education or not, you know, just try to like put in their heads.
And they're like, I want those parents.
Yeah.
Well, man, I'm like, God, what are they going to get held back next year? Like what, how are they going to assess this? Like, you know, like, I guess we're supposed to like scan all their work and send it in and the teachers grade the papers and it's crazy, man. It's, you know, so I'm taking away Fortnite and phones and.
Oh, dang.
Dude. Yeah. That's what, you know, that's been definitely one of the hardest things. And we talked about it for a quick second too, but it's like, when they're in school, it's pretty easy. They go to school for like 6-7 hours a day. Afterwards, they have, you know, sports or whatever extracurricular activity they're involved in. By the time they get home, you know, it's 4, 5, 6 o'clock at night. You eat some dinner. And then if they want to geek out on their electronics for an hour or two, it's like, go ahead. You've had a busy ass day and I don't mind. Go relax. But now it's like, dude, give me your fucking phone.
Where do you draw the line? Where do you, you know, because he'll be in his room all day sometimes, and I'm working constantly, you know.
Yeah.
I always take the break to, like, you know, make the kids lunch, make the kids dinner, stuff like that. But, you know, it's like the rest of the time I'm working down here, and I just don't think to run up there. And I know he's on Fortnite, you know, and he has certain days that he can do it. Like, we don't allow it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But even on the days he's allowed, it's like, bro, 10 hours, like 10 hours, like, that's a long time to be on an F night sesh, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to
be an F night sesh. I'm so glad I have a 1-year-old right now. Cause like, I'm feeling like very lucky that my kid's only one. He just sits there and plays with the toys that are on the floor. Like, I don't have to really, I can imagine now what you guys are going through where it's just like, you know, when a kid's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, they need like entertainment, you know, like what's up? Oh my God.
Oh, man,
my son just sits there and drinks a bottle.
My son's hooked on the Roblox.
Oh yeah.
Roblox game. He's addicted to it. And it's fucking crazy. Cause like, he'll be like, Dad, can I get some Robux? And Robux is like, you know, you can like fix your avatar up, or you can get a new hat for your guy or whatever. And it's like, dude, I'll give him like $10 worth of Robux. And it, like on the thing, it's like, oh, if I give you $10 worth of Robux, that's like 5,000 Robux.
Right.
It'll last him like fucking 5 minutes. And I'll just be like, what'd you do? I got a new hat. Oh, you're getting no more Robux for you, my friend.
Bro, that was the one thing, is like my son for his birthday last year, he asked for, all he wanted was Fortnite gift cards. And you know, on the surface, it's like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Like, why can't we get you like a nice toy or something? That's what people, you know, they want to buy him toys and things. I'm like, look, I wrapped my brain around it. I was like, look, man, he's not going to play with the toys. He's not going to, you know, we'll get him clothes and stuff like that. I like to get him styled out, but like, this is what he does. Everything else will be a waste of money. And I know you think that virtual cash is a waste of money, but you know, and it kind of is. It's like, yeah, you're spending 10,000 V-bucks on a pack of skins and like a new, you know, pickaxe. And you're like, this isn't even real. Like, it doesn't even, my whole gripe is like, it doesn't even upgrade your character. Like, it's not like an action RPG where you actually get better, defense and like HP and all that. It's like, nothing, none of these outfits, none of these weapons do anything to make your character better.
Yeah. Nothing.
Like, it's just for looks.
It's just,
my son, but one of the things, like, he got a bunch of Robux the other day. For Easter. We did the Easter egg hunt, and some of the Easter eggs I had like Robux, like I just wrote on paper like 5 Robux or whatever. I gave him a bunch of Robux, and of course he spent it all in like fucking 5 minutes. And I go in there, and he goes, Dad, look what I bought with the Robux. And I'm looking, I'm like, what? And he goes, my guy's head's a chicken leg now. Like, well, he goes, yeah, I'm a chicken head. So that's like, that's it. Now, like you said, no better. He doesn't jump higher. He's not stronger. He just has, now he has a chicken head.
Okay, so I'm looking at the positive, because I don't play any of these games. My son's too young. I know about them because of friends that have kids, you know, you guys. I'm starting to go, okay, I do hate this, and this is terrifying and horrifying, but at least you can't buy your way to being good. It's like, yeah, dude, you can be chicken head, man, but you still suck at this game. You know? Yes. I kind of like that. So you can be poor and just have the plain avatar and still go fuck everyone's day up. I at least appreciate that.
Yeah.
True.
That's the one thing for sure. And then you also got to like teach them about, you know, the kids on there that are little assholes, you know, like all the time. He's like, oh man, he's like, talking all this trash, calling me trash and all this. I'm like, bro, and you can't tell, I want to be able to just tell him to fuck off. You know, like that's, you know, but you got to try to think of some smarter ways to approach it. I'm just like, bro, just tell them, if they start ganging up on you like that, just tell them like, all right, idiots, I'm out of here. Like, this, you're being ridiculous. You guys aren't even playing. Play the damn game, you know? Just try to, I'm like, if you can flip it on them, like, you know, Bunny Rabbit, 8 Mile, you know, like flip it on them. You know what I mean? So they can't, so it doesn't affect you. And they seem like the idiots, you know?
Totally.
I'm trying to get them to be like that. It's, because kids are punks, man.
Totally. And you said your son's 9?
Yeah,
my son's 8, so like they're around that same age, and that's like right around the age I feel like where you start to realize there's dickheads in the world. You know, like before, like 6, 7, like 5, you know, like you're still just like, everybody's so nice to me, and I'm in kindergarten, I get to take naps, and you know, and then you get to about 8, and you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, there's fucking assholes out there. I didn't know that.
They're everywhere.
7 years later, you die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there just becomes more of them as you get older, too. That's the...
Yes, yes.
And then hopefully you don't become one of them, you know?
Yeah. At some point, you will also be an asshole. Multiple times. And then the good people are the people that go, I was an asshole. I don't want to be an asshole anymore. And then that's the rest of us, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely get to a certain age. I try to... Look, we're trying to raise people that we want to hang out with later.
Yeah.
Truth.
Like people that we want to like, will be in their 20s. I'll be in my 50s. And we'll be chilling out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's parenting is tough. And anybody that does it, you're taking on something huge. And, you really can't, there's no, you can read all the books you want, man. You know, there's no, you can watch all the YouTube videos, but it's really, you're, everybody's figuring out as you go. You're building this plane in mid-flight, right?
Dude, oh, exactly. Yeah, you could, parenting is like, that is exactly what you're doing. Yeah. Like you can't just, if before you have your first kid, if you're just like, I am totally prepared. I am not worried at all. I know everything I'm going to do and it's going to be perfect. Then you're a fucking liar.
Like, I can't wait to watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's no parenting book that could have imagined Fortnite. You're like you said, there's no book you can read. Yeah, a book that was the best thing ever 10 years ago. No, burn it. It means nothing.
It's all about like giving them, you know, because I feel like life is about fundamentals and things that you can apply to every situation. And it's all about just trying to give them the tools to deal with life as it happens, you know? You know, make it so they don't care about what people think, even though we all do. When we're teenagers, young children, like we're always thinking about what other people think. It's not till later, I think, that you start kind of getting over that. But, you know, there was always that kid at school that was like, you know, dressed like the, you know, he was like the goth kid or something, or the vampire kid or something. And he didn't care, you know, he was like, whatever. But everybody else, you know, it's like, you know, when you think you're like, oh man, they're looking at my acne or something, but they're thinking about their acne too. You know, even as
people. I always say, yeah.
And you can't, it's hard to explain that to a kid. And I remember being a teenager and somebody could tell me that right now, an adult could tell me that. And I wouldn't have gotten it. I've been like, no, you got to figure it out for yourself. You know, it's just part of life, but hopefully we're giving them some building blocks and some tools to be able to handle all this awful shit that happens, you know, and hopefully they're not assholes.
And hope they're not assholes. Yeah,
I don't think they will be. You definitely are not an asshole. You tell, and so I doubt you're going to allow your kids to be assholes. It comes down to that, right? If the parents are really don't want their kids to be assholes and work hard at it, I think you're going to be all right.
Yeah, I mean, there are some parents that aren't trying at all. You know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh wow, that kid's going to be a total shithead. You know.
Yep. An asshole in training.
It's so crazy how you can see that too at such a young age, even like at 8 or 9, you're just like, oh, you're going to be a prick. And then you like meet their parents and you go, and that's why.
Not your fault, kid. It's their fault.
It really sucks because it isn't their fault, you know?
No, they're just a little guy, girl.
There was no one there checking them, you know? When it was time to like, every kid does dumb shit. You just got to be like, yo, no, don't fucking, that's not right, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. My daughter's just like, both my kids are great, but my daughter's just really, she's like so different. She's a ball of sunshine. She's like the most positive thing in the house. She's 5. She says and does the sweetest little things. She says, please and thank you. She'll just walk and be like, I love you so much, daddy, or I love you so much, mommy. And like, or I want to see Graham, or, you know, just, I miss Graham so much. Like just these little sweet little things. Or she goes to like Draven when he's like mad, but she like rubs his back. What's the matter, buddy? Like stuff like that. And you're just like, oh,
thank you.
Thank you. And like, how, you know? And like Danielle taught her sign language for certain things when she was like, before she could speak. So she's going like this, like more, like when she's hungry, you know, hungry or like just all kinds of things, man. It was just like, I was just blown away, you know?
That's awesome, man. That's so awesome.
She's a little artist. She wants to do something in the arts.
How old is she?
5.
5. Okay, cool. That's a fun age, yeah. That's before you know about assholes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't let her play Fortnite.
Yeah. Well, she games a little bit, but that's what I'm worried about is like anybody fucks with her, I'm going to be so, it's going to be a lot to restrain me. And I'm not that guy. Fuck you, you know, like I'm not like that, but like thinking about somebody hurting my daughter or like my daughter a shitty look or being mean to her or something, just like, oh my God.
Dude, my daughter's 12, you know, and it's like she's like a teenage girl now. And it's so fucking weird, man. Like and she, you know, all of her friends, obviously right now they're not coming over, but my house is a house that a lot of her friends like to come over and spend the night and all that. And it just seemed like it was just like a couple weeks ago, it was just a handful of little girls at my house having sleepovers, and now it's like fucking bras and tampons everywhere and just talking about boys.
No.
I'm just like, no. It's terrifying.
What a bummer, dude. Yeah, they're all like TikTok and like,
you know. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. all TikToking all the time. Even when she's not on TikTok, she's doing the dances. Like, she can't, we'll be having dinner and she'll just be there fucking deet deet doing her little thing. And I'm like, you fucking, please God, stop.
Oh my God.
Well, what's up, Howie? What's up with like Ballyhoo right now? What are you guys trying to do? Like, you guys, you know, live streaming or doing, just trying to keep busy in any way possible?
Yeah, man. It's, you know, we're live. I think we're going to be doing a live stream every month until they say absolutely no going outside. You know, cause it's they put us under stay at home or whatever, but it's like, you can still go out and do things,
mm-hmm.
essential things, I guess. So we're trying to do like once a month. We did one last month, full band, and we have this place that's like 20 minutes away and we're lucky to have it. Cause there's a lot of bands that don't have this, but, it's a place that runs sound at a lot of events in the area, all around the state. And they decided when all this went down, they like had the foresight. They're like, yo, live stream, like we could turn this into a studio. And they put all their gear together and like set up the space in their warehouse. And it's just lights, like full on professional light show, sound. They've got, I think, 5 cameras. Full console, and like the front of house is in a completely different room in the warehouse, so like he can sit there and like watch the broadcast and mix.
Get
the
a nice mix, yeah.
Rather than be in the room and try to mix on headphones, just very pro. And so we were gonna do it at Baltimore Soundstage, and I started. They didn't have like all the stuff that was needed, so I started like, you know, putting in the extra time and like going and trying to find gear, the proper cameras, and all the stuff to make your camera's wireless so you can have roamers if you want, things like that. Cause I didn't want just like a stationary camera, you know, yeah. I was thinking of anything multicam, like 2 to 3 that you could bounce between. And that ended up falling through because of when the governor made the decision, they had to shut down. So we hit up Harford Sound and they were like, oh yeah, let's do it. Went in like a couple days later and it was just like, I'm so stoked how it turned out. You know, we had to learn a few things. It wasn't 100% perfect. But so this time going and we're doing it again tomorrow and, we're going to be like ready to go and we're going to play our album Daydreams, front to back. Cause you know, it's like, you know, there's all kinds of artists doing this right now. And, some bands I haven't seen anything at all. But like, there's a lot of artists doing it. And I feel like at some point, just like anything else, it's going to get a little old in a way. Like, you know, I can do this. Everybody's going to see this every time. What can I do to make it different? You know, what can I do to make it more exciting for the people watching, you know, and I'm asking for donations. You know, it's like we're doing this so we can stay alive. We're doing it because like we want to give something for the fans to do and people are clamoring for something to watch, more content to take in. So this is like really easy. But when I'm doing a show, man, I want to make sure that like people are getting some value out of it, you know, and they're not just like watching me play songs again for the 100th time. And hey, tips, you know, if you're down, you know, like, you know, just make it an experience. So with this one, we wanted to do something cool and different. So we decided we're going to play Daydreams front to back. We haven't done that yet. So we're really looking forward to that. We're actually going to go through some old songs that either weren't released or like released like limited like 10 years ago, or songs that we felt like we could do better. And we're actually going to re-record them and, put those out over time, maybe in a release this summer or something. Cause we're like, man, we got some really great songs that like maybe didn't sound as good as they could, or maybe like, why did I sing like that? Or why didn't I fix that? You know, that guitar lick or something.
Dude, I know exactly that feeling, man. Yeah. Especially after you start playing a song and you play a song for 5 or 6 years live, yeah. And then you don't really listen to the recording for so long, and then you go back and listen to the recording and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's like, this is what people are listening to every day? Like,
yeah.
You know, I have a hard time listening to anything before Daydreams, and even Daydreams has some like things on it that I'm like, oh geez, like a little cringy. But like our 3 albums before that are very cringy for me, and it's like, I'm proud, yeah. Super proud, but it's like, fuck dude, like wow, like I listen to Cali Girl, it's one of our most popular songs and it gets spins all the time, I'm just like, fuck, is this what people are listening to? You know,
dude, yeah, I got a handful of those tracks too. Every time it like randomly pops up on like a Pandora or something, I'm just like, oh, fuck.
I remember there's a Newfound Glory song. Have I waited too long? That one, they have a, like an original version of that it came on like a playlist one time. I'm like, whoa. Wow, like his voice is like not like this is when they just started, obviously, and they yeah. like the album later, but like stuff like that, you know. I think Revolution has like I think Safe and Sound. They have an old version of that. Like the new ones just sounds so much better, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of bands that do that over time. Like we had actually re-recorded a couple songs in the earlier records because you're like, oh, let's redo this, you know.
Cause yeah.
But now it's like we're at a point where like we know how to record. We've been in the studio hundreds of times, you know. We just know how to do this now. And it's like, I figure we can really serve up these songs and really make them new and fun. And there's some bands that are actually going back and instead of releasing like a greatest hits with like all the big songs, they'll release a greatest hits, but they'll take those greatest hits and they'll re-record them now and make them sound dope and release them that way. And I think
that's really cool. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Are you, when you do your lives now, are you playing any of your solo stuff that you put out? Do you play that with Ballyhoo?
The solo stuff has pretty much just been me, you know, sitting here doing this. You know, maybe one day we'll work in some songs. A couple of them are actually songs that were recorded for old Ballyhoo records, but never made it. And oh, I was yeah. like, we're never going to record that. So I'll just use it, you know, cause I thought they were good songs. It just, for whatever reason, they didn't turn out or something, you know?
Oh dude, there's so many songs I look back on and go, man, that didn't make that album, but that was a great song. And that's yeah. fucking, we're never going to do anything with that. So yeah, it's good to have somewhere an avenue to put those out.
Yeah.
But yeah. I really like, I was listening to your latest one on solo was Self Care.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool for people who are watching. You can check it out. Here's the little picture on iTunes. I'll throw up there a better version of that photo. But I thought it was cool. And it was a different like Howie than I was used to hearing. I feel like you almost got like started doing some rapping in there. I was like, oh, shit.
So okay. I don't know if you know, but that's a Mac Miller song.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay, so now I just sound like an idiot.
No. It's fine. There's some people hit me up with that. Like, yo, that shit's sick. I'm like, yeah, I wish it was mine. I heard Mac Miller. I'd always knew who Mac Miller was. I always known him. But I always thought he was like a clown. You know, I was just like, okay, it's just some white kid. He's just got, because I saw him on like some clips from a show just being goofy. And I'm like, okay, this is just one of these like mumble rapping clowns, you know? And didn't pay him much attention. And then, you know, of course he dies. And I'm like, oh, wow, that sucks. You know, it's awful. It's always awful when someone dies.
Yeah.
And he was obviously beloved. And then a couple months back, like late 2019, my bass player Nick's just listening to like a hip hop playlist, and Self Care comes on, and I'm like, "Yo, what is this?" And I like turned it up, and I'm like, "All right, that's Mac Miller. Holy shit, okay." So I felt dumb because I was like, I just missed out. I knew he was dead, and I missed out on this whole thing.
Yeah.
And that was the one that really connected with me. I was like, I feel like I could really do something different with this. Make it my own, kind of in my style, like with the reggae stuff, and I knew that I was gonna have to try my hand at rapping, you know. And I did some like light rapping stuff and like some old Ballyhoo shit. I hadn't done it since like the third record, which was like over like 12 years ago.
Yeah, what do you guys have? Like 8 records, 7, 8?
Working on number 8 right now.
Wow, yeah, nice.
Plus some EPs and shit. But so I knew like I was gonna have to do that. You know, so. Oh my God. So I did a couple passes at it and I listened back. I'm like, this is so fucking vanilla, dude. Like, I'm just like, man, what, you know? So I just did it over and over. You know, the best thing about recording at home is I can do it a million times. And
no one's there to judge you.
No one's here to judge me. There's nobody. I'm not in the booth. You know, I'm just the only one here. And I just did my best, you know, Tim Armstrong meets Mac Miller impression. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like, yeah, climbing over that wall, you know, just like really just try to like, I don't know. So, and then the rest of it was like, you know, so, but that was the one I felt like I could really adapt for what I did. And I kept the whole thing. I imported the track into Pro Tools and just built, or no, Logic actually, and built it right on top of the original track. So it's like the same length, because I would go back and reference, because I would say as an exercise to an artist that's trying to learn how to produce, this was a great exercise because I was never good at like making trap beats. And that was something I was like, yeah, well, I want to start getting into that a little bit. And I was able to go back and reference and listen. I just matched the beat exactly. And I try to find the closest tones I have. And I have a machine and all that. So I've got all these great tones. And just start dialing stuff in and literally listening, is like really paying attention to all the details. Because there's all kinds of like little like short light snares and little clicks and things that you're not paying attention to.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, it sounds really authentic. And so that was a nice exercise. But then I was just able to like really go at it and like add the stickies, you know, the mutes on the guitar over the bass, you know, the single notes. I love doing those. And that end part, when it switches to the Oblivion part, it's like those R&B chords. I learned, that's another thing. I got to learn how to play some cool chords on the piano now. Like, I don't know, man. I just really enjoyed it. It turned out really well. People really like it. People that checked it out got a lot of messages that weekend. And
nice. Yeah, it's great. It sounds great.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I wish I had written it. I want to go in that direction a little bit more and like explore, you know? The beauty of doing the solo thing, aside from the Ballyhoo stuff, is like I can just do whatever I want. There's no expectation, you know? It's nice.
No, totally. That's fucking great. That's it's funny you say that too. You wish you wrote it because, you know, me and Rome just put out that cover of Van Morrison's song Stoned Me, and I had so many people hit me up like, that's such an amazing song, man. Like your songwriting is getting so amazing. And I'm just like, thanks. Do I take the time to explain to you or do I just say thanks?
You know, just say thanks and let them figure it out later. You know,
that's what I say. I'm like, they're eventually gonna figure it out and be like, oh, it's a cover. Duddy's a fucking liar.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Then they're gonna be like, and Duddy took credit for it. All right, burning the records, dude. That's unfortunately the times we're in.
Hey, you know what? Regardless, if you write a song or you do a cover song, if you put it out and it affects people in a positive way, does it make you feel good, Jake?
Oh,
it does. Oh, yeah. Okay, so.
Corny segues that you guys are trying to come up with between your segments.
Yes. That was my segue right there.
Segway King.
Yeah, and speaking of feeling good, on this podcast, we have some sponsors that make us feel good. And as always, Koi CBD. We love this product. We love this company. They've been with us since day one. I literally take the drops every day, which now I'm not even doing drops. Now they gave me a big old bottle of these drops. I put a little spray topper in it. So now I just open up and go like Banaka, and I just do like 37 sprays of that under my tongue. And then after I do that, I take the new inhaler that they gave me, 1,000 milligram CBD inhaler straight to the bloodstream. Just cat, I take a whacker of that and I'm just feeling so amazing. But right now, guys, what they got going on is so cool. And everyone needs this. I know you do because they're out fucking everywhere. Hand sanitizer. They have it and it smells so good. And what they're doing too is every ounce of hand sanitizer they sell, they are matching that and sending it to hospitals and first responders all through Southern California. So go to Koi CBD, pick up some hand sanitizer and put in code DuddyB at checkout and you will get 20% off your order. Bam. Also, Onnit, another amazing company, and that's Onnit with two N's, onnit.com. And these guys have so many amazing products, so many amazing supplements. Whatever you're looking for, they have it. If you're looking for, you know, supplements for working out, if you're looking for things to, you know, my brother started running a lot. What have you been taking for the running? The electrolytes and what else?
Dude, the electrolytes mixed with the pre-workout, and now they have a thing called Stone Bone, which like is just for your bone. Yeah, for your boner. No, it's for your bones, you know, because dude, when you're running a lot, your knees might start hurting and stuff. They come in like the pellets. I've been ripping those things apart and dumping the dust from inside, mixing that in. So electrolytes, pre-workout, some Stone Bone.
Nice.
And I'm just running fucking laps.
Running, so yeah. And right now, I am every single day, they have the Shroom Tech Immune Boost. Right. I mean, we could all use a little immune boost right now, and it's got the Onnit Shroom Tech technology in there. I daily take the Alpha Brain as well to stay smart and stay sharp. And right now, I've been talking about it every episode, and I'm going to talk about it again because I think it's important right now for everyone. They have these new mood pills, and they're great for just relaxing. Everyone's stressed out right now, and I know parents at home who are doing homeschool with their kids, holy fuck, it's stressful. And, you know, it's not a sleeping pill. It's not going to knock you out. So I like to take it around 5 or so in the afternoon. And it just kind of relaxes you and mellows you out for the end of the night. And then when you do fall asleep, you're going to sleep through the whole entire night like a little baby. So go to Onnit with two N's, onnit.com/Duddy after that, and you will get 10% off your order. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, you know what? And as always, let me mention too, cutlassbrand.com. We did just drop a new men and women's line. I know it's a hard times right now. And, you know, if you can't make it over there, I get it. But we did make a new men and women's line. We had it in the makes before all this craziness happened, and it came in. So we put it up, and it's there, and you can go get it. Lots of new cool styles. And if you put in code DuddyB, you will get 15% off your order at cutlassbrand.com. Go check it out.
Boom.
Yeah. And as I'm doing these stupid little plugs, I'm just going to throw a quick one. If you guys are listening to this, and enjoy, please leave us a comments or reviews. It really does help the podcast get noticed and keep going. So thank you. Let's go.
Dude, any more? The local pizzeria? Somebody?
I could throw down a fucking Patreon drop right now if you want. Dude, if you guys are enjoying the show and you want some behind the scenes content from this and every episode, go to patreon.com/feelinggoodwithduddy. It's a small monthly fee. It helps the podcast keep going, and you're going to get lots of awesome bonus content, and you're going to get to do cool things like what I'm about to do is I'm going to ask Howie some fan questions that have come from our Patreon members. So we're going to get into the Patreon fan questions right now.
Yeah, Duddy, fucking hell, you must have doubled on the Alpha Brain because you're on absolute burning hot liquid magma fire right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Let's see. I have these questions up here, but I have not read through them yet. So let me...
Oh, my God.
The first one is pretty funny, and I hope that you don't take offense to this because... It's kind of funny, but I don't think it's disrespectful. Hey, Howie, has from Kristen Parsons, one of our Patreon members, would like to know, has anyone ever told you that you bear resemblance to Neil Patrick Harris? My son and I noticed it when we saw you in Tulsa last February.
All the fucking time. This goes back to the 80s, bro, when he was on Doogie Howser.
Oh, man.
School called me Doogie in elementary school. And then it's just something that when he resurfaced in Kumar and those movies,
Harold and Kumar.
Kumar, all of a sudden it was NPH. And then on Warped Tour in 2016, every single day at the merch table, it was countless, you know?
Dude, do you ever?
Ryan Stiles, sometimes Heath Ledger, which, yeah, awesome, I'll take that. The new guy, DJ Qualls, yeah, I get him all the time.
That is fucking hilarious.
Bollinger calls me True Blood. Fucking Skarsgård.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I see that one. That's so funny. Yeah.
I can see that.
Nordic. But fuck, I did not see the Doogie Howser until that question, and now I can't not see it. I'm like, what the hell? It was sitting right in front of me. Oh, yeah, I can't miss it now. You are NPH. But you know what? NPH is fucking awesome.
He's fucking awesome. So I'll take it.
Dude, yeah. Everybody loves fucking NPH. No one's like, I fucking hate that guy. Why would you?
And you remember where he kind of resurfaced first was Starship Troopers.
Was he
in it, yeah.
Man, I haven't seen that in years.
That was a fucking great movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember being surprised on how much I actually enjoyed that movie. I was like, I thought that was going to be cheesy as fuck. That was great.
Dude, well, it looks cheesy, and the way it's presented, I love, because it's like that old-timey news thing, like, bugs are coming across the galaxy.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? And then it's brutal. It's bloody. There's tits. You're like, yeah. Like 15 minutes in, they're in a shower, and I remember being like, everyone's boobs are out, and then people are just getting blood stabbed, and then Neil Patrick Harris.
Blood stabbed.
Just fucking shanked with the bugs. But,
this is a cool one. And I think this is kind of for all of us. If you got something you want to say too, Jake. Jesse Zilstra from our Patreon wants to know, what's the first place you guys are going to go to when everything opens back up?
Man. Oh my God. Florida, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a second home, you know, Florida, like Janice Live in St. Pete or something. Like, yeah, it's probably going to be the first spot.
Yeah. Okay. So you're talking band. Your band's going to Florida.
Oh, the band. Okay. I thought you meant me or the band. Yeah. Personally. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't go anywhere unless it's with the band. So.
Yeah. Right. No, I don't know. I mean, I think like the first place I'll do is be like, dude, we're going out to a restaurant. Yeah. Fucking get your Sunday best on. We going.
Yeah. We're going to Applebee's.
Yeah. That's out of those pajamas you've been wearing for 3 months.
I don't know, dude. I'm going on a vacation of some sort. Yeah, I want to just like we're lucky, Duddy and I live in California, and you can just drive up the coast and there's a million beaches to stop at, and that's 100% it. I mean, all the state parks are closed, all the beaches. So I can't wait to just go sit on a beach and not have to worry about getting a life-altering illness.
Right.
Yeah.
Jake, here's one for you. Nick Ewing wants to know, hey Jake, how'd Rocky's party go? Any good scores at Target?
Oh yeah. My son, what he's talking about, my son Rocky turned one on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. And so, you know, it was obviously a funky, you know, we're in coronal time. So I was on lockdown. So it was raining. It was like raining pretty hard on Sunday here in Southern California. So it was a funky birthday, but I did get him like some tambourines, some shakers, like a little drum. And I gave him that. We got him a birthday cake. He dunked it all over his face. So, I mean, he's 1 year old, so he's not going to remember it. But
amazing.
As soon as this shit's over with, we'll have a party for Rocky, you know?
Yep. And then Nick Ewing also asked one for me. He said, Duddy, any more songs you and Rome did together going to be released in addition to Stone Me? Yes, definitely. Obviously, this has put a little damper on it. I mean, we were planning on finishing that Rome and Duddy tour and then coming back here and pretty much jumping right into recording some new songs that we have written together. But, you know, we're on the lockdown, so we're not going to mess around. We're not trying to get in the studio right now. And so the answer is yes, but do I have a date and time of when? I do not, unfortunately. Lacey McDonald would like to know, Howie and Duddy, could we ever expect a collaboration between the two of you in the future? I mean, I don't see why not. And Jared already jumped on a Ballyhoo track.
Did.
Maybe we just got to get Howie on a Dirty Heads track.
Yeah. You know, I'm down, dude. Let's do something, man.
Or you know what? We actually were talking about me and Rome, too. And I think that we were trying to do this last one, but I believe you had scheduled something that we weren't able to. But we wanted to have Howie as well come out on the Friends and Family Tour. And then we, Rome, and Howie do a track together as well.
Love to.
Which we were trying to do with Micah, but he had to tour with Iration before that tour, so we weren't able to get together because our whole plan was for me, Rome, and Micah to also write a song together and play that during the tour, but we weren't able to get in. So hopefully we'll get to do that with Howie before the next tour.
Plenty of time. Yeah. Going on.
So this one's for Howie. Sarah N. T-Bird from our Patreon would like to know, Howie, how did you pick the name Ballyhoo for your name? Do you really like that fish or does it just sound cool?
That goes back to, we started the band 25 years ago. And so I was a child and anything sounded good. And we were looking for a name and a friend of ours, shout out Michelle Heller. She's like, hey, you should call your band Ballyhoo. And I was like, what is that? And she's like, oh yeah, it just means crazy. I looked it up in the dictionary, but at the time it means like organized chaos or like craziness. Like if you go to like a festival, a beer festival, look at all the shit happening. This is the Ballyhoo, what's going on. And it also meant like loud noise. So like at the time I remember thinking like, oh, we're like a loud noise in my mom's basement. And it just stuck. And like the name, it was cool because it was like one word. And it was like block letters and very colorful in my mind. So like all the imagery since then has always been like lots of color and just big bold letters. And it just stuck after a while, you know? And then you get to a certain point where it's just like, well, we can't change it now. You know, I look back all the time, like we have like the worst name ever. But
it's better than Dirty Heads.
No, it's you guys got a cool name. I mean, it's something to do with you know, you guys just being like dirty kids from the beach, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, cool, you know, like there's something to that. And for me, it was just like, oh, that sounds cool. You know, I was like 14. And I don't know. I sometimes I wish we could change it, but I have it like tattooed on them now and shit. So that would be,
I think it's a good name. I mean, it's like, I always like the one word name. That's just a catchy like word. And I think it's a great name.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Dude, Howie, just remember that there's a pretty big band called the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Dude, Ballyhoo is cool.
We talked about it, I think, on a couple episodes ago. Yeah. This one always blew my fucking mind, Howie. Maybe you'll agree with me that how did this pass? How did this band have like a number one radio hit? They had a record label. There was people buying t-shirts, and their band name was the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. What?
That is
the most creepiest fucking molestation name I've ever heard in my life.
Dude, I've said it's a statutorial band name.
Like, yeah, it's very,
what the fuck?
Very college.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, I popped her fucking cherry, bro. Like,
that's the worst thing that I hate. There's a few things that dudes will say, like, she's on her rag. And I'm always like, what ear is it, asshole? And then the pop the cherry thing is always just horrifying.
Can we fucking just straight up, this is our no more word today, is popped her cherry?
Yeah, there you go.
Here it comes. So, Duddy, I don't think we can sing over it with the Zoom.
You can't. Yeah, we can't. I've noticed if you turn to the drops and then we talk, it cuts out.
So I'll just do the drop and then we'll go. Here it is. Right. An impromptu, no more words.
That audio sucks. We're going to move right past that drop. It just cuts out. Okay, guys, you heard it. No more words. Guys, and this is, I'm hoping no older people our age say this. I think this is mostly college and high school and under. Don't ever go to your buddies and go, hey guys, I popped her cherry last night. What
does that now anyway? I haven't heard that in so long. But I'm on board with that. Like, why? What is
that's so gross? Last episode we X-nayed fingered. There's just certain things where you're like, come on guys, come the fuck on. And
put it together.
And if you're a guy that, if your buddy comes up to you and goes, I popped her fucking cherry, and you're like, right on, and you like high five, fuck you too, okay?
Yeah, it's a double fuck you. When you said the name of the band, Cherry Poppin' Daddies, I was like, that sounds like the like name of a party crew of the worst people at your school.
Yeah.
Like me and my buddies, we're going to the party, we're called the Cherry Poppin' Daddies. Kicking in the front door with a case of cool, who's gonna get it tonight? And just the worst ass hats in your town.
I
didn't even think about that till you said that, because it's one of those things that like it just gets, you're just used to it, and it's 20 years old, and you're just like, I don't even, Cherry Poppin' Daddies, you know. But now that you bring it to light, it's like, yeah, that's really weird. Why would you name your band that?
Yeah.
And you're right, because it's like, that didn't occur to me back then when they were like killing it, or when they had their song on the radio. I didn't think about that, but like, I just recently, like, we were talking about weird band names, and that one popped up, and I was just like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah. You took a step back and went, hey, wait a minute. I used to dance to the Zoot Suit Riot. we went over this last time. We never, the Zoot Suit Riot.
I thought when that song first came out, I thought it was Zoot Suit Ryan. I thought it was about a guy. Zoot Suit Ryan. Oh.
Just a dude he used to work with at Target, fucking Zoot Suit Ryan.
They caught that. Remember that little tiny big band explosion? You know? Yep. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy was another one.
Yep.
Around, I want to say, remember when The Mask came out, and it's all like the music at that club was all big band, and he let's rock this joint, he like turns the whole place in like a big band, and Cameron Diaz and everything. It's just like it got popular from that, I think, you know. And they caught the wave. Yeah,
dude, We had this. I think it was, we had like the squirrel nut zipper. Was that one?
No, that band. That band is sick though.
Yeah, and then I don't even know if they were a rockabilly, but you're right. There was this weird moment where big band just came back and then just left out the back door as quickly as it walked in the front. I was like, all right, good to see you. Yeah, and that movie, The Mask, was right in the middle of it, and Jim Carrey comes sliding in, smoking. Yeah.
It's because just like all pop music, that's how pop culture is. They go, oh, look at that. It's like on to the next one, you know?
Yep.
Yep.
But the that told me to freeze. That's my favorite.
I love it. Carrey's my man, dude. I love, he's like top three, easily. He's like and I feel like he's my dad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like, dude, I've gone back recently and watched the Ace Venturas with my kids. Yeah. Fuck, dude. It is so good. It's so good.
Damn. My daughter loves Jim Carrey. Now, like, I'm introducing her to, like, she watched Liar Liar the other day and showed her Bruce Almighty. And she just loves Jim Carrey, man. Yep. Ace Ventura, all of it.
So, you know what I've gone back to now and I'm watching with my kids? I'm going back and I'm watching all the Adam Sandler movies. Like, dude, they're fucking great. Like, it is what it is. You know exactly what you're fucking getting. Funny every time. You're like, all right.
It's shit on a lot, man. And it's, you know, his humor, like his movies, like they hadn't been as great, you know, like it's just a different style of humor these days. But like, you know, I heard Uncut Gems is wonderful. I haven't seen it yet.
Dude, it's amazing.
Yeah, I want to watch it. But yeah, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, and you know, I need to go. I never actually saw the in full Little Nicky or The Waterboy. I haven't watched either one of those really.
Oh, dude, shit. Those are great. They're great. Little Nicky's funny. Waterboy's great. Yeah,
I gotta go back and just sit down with the kids and watch those.
Yeah, they're good ones to watch.
Particularly Waterboy is a banger, dude. You're gonna die. So I'm kind of happy for you that you haven't really dove into those two, because you're gonna have a good night watching those.
Cool. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So Howie has told us that he does have a scary zone story.
So let me ask you this, Duddy. Do you want me to try to play the scary? Should we try with the drops? What do you think? It's so shaky on the Zoom.
I think that honestly, if you're trying to play the scary music in the background while he's talking, it's just gonna sound like shit.
It might. So how do you want to handle this? Just go right into it.
Just fucking hear it. Yeah.
All right, Howie, dude, our apologies. You know, normally
I'll just give you a fucking, have you ever been scared?
There you go.
There you go.
That's perfect. Right. yeah, this might be like a weird, I don't want to bring the podcast down or anything, but no, this is after my dad died, I had this weird moment where I got a few moments where, I'm not the type of person, like, I don't know if I believe in ghosts or not, right? Or like weird shit like that. Cause you see those ghost videos of like the dudes like, bro, did you hear that, bro? And it's like, you know,
they got their phone out and they're just like,
I heard something. It's like, anyway, so yeah, it gets weird, man. Like my dad died in a few days later, my fiance's mom is here. And I'm just like cleaning the dishes or something in the kitchen. And I have one of those like windows you can see out of the dining room. And it was Christmas time and we had the tree set up and everything. And I'm just finishing the dishes and something falls off the tree. Right. And we were just random. We were just sitting there talking and it like, went over and checked it out. I'm just like, that's weird. It's very strange. And sometimes you put heavy stuff on the tree and the limbs give and things fall off, you know. That's what my mind's telling me, my logical brain. So then like also at the same time, I was standing in the living room near the tree and all that, and I start getting this like really insane chill. You know when you get the chills and your hair stands up the back of your neck? I got that. But it lasted for like 20 minutes and it was very intense.
Ooh.
Very intense. Like it wasn't just like, ooh, I got to chill. It was like, whoa. It was really weird, man. And like, and to the point of where, and this is only like I said, a few days after my dad passed, and it was just like literally me going like, dad, is that you? Like that, you know what I mean? And I don't really, it's weird for me to, you know,
Yeah.
Forward a few years later. Same thing. I'm in the kitchen or doing something. And it was just this past Christmas. That's right. Something falls off the tree. And I was like, all right. And then a second thing falls off the tree, bro. Like a second thing, ornament falls off the fucking tree within a few minutes. Like, come over here. Like, get over here. Like, I'm in the other. I checked the video. I've got like a canary in my house. I'm like, I checked the video later because I had to watch this. It's literally, I hear something and you see me like, and then it takes me like 10 minutes. I'm just staring at it from across the room. I just walk over really slow. And so when my dad passed away, we dumped his ashes in the bay here in the river near the lighthouse, which is like a pretty popular spot in town. My dad lived here in Havity Grace. He loved the town. So we like, you know, let's make him a part of it, you know, like in our minds, let's make him part of it. So we dumped his ashes out there. So fast forward back, I finally walk over to the tree and I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm looking for the things that fell. The second thing that fell was the fucking lighthouse ornament. We have the lighthouse from, it's like a, we bought the little ornament from a gift shop in town, I guess, as a gift. I got it. And the fucking lighthouse was on the floor, dude. Like, again, just like, I felt like a fucking wolf. Like, all the hair on my body was just like, and intense for 10, 15 minutes, man. Again, dad, is that you? Kind of, you know, like,
yeah.
What the hell, man? Like, and I'm not like, I'm the type of person, like, I'm not religious. I don't know if you even call it spiritual. I don't know, but like, I don't believe any of that shit. Like, I'm pretty much like, okay, lights out kind of guy, you know? And, for that, it really starts to test you. You know, you're like, okay, what is going on here? Does the energy go away? Does it, you know? So that shit, as weird as it was, I mean, and thinking, you know, it's just my dad probably, it still scared the shit out of me. It was like the weirdest thing, you know?
Like, yeah. No, that's creepy, man.
Yeah, man. That was probably the weirdest experiences I've ever had. Another time my dad and I thought we saw aliens. And this happened twice. In 96, I was going to get my driver's permit. And he took me there and I failed the test. I had to go back the next day. But on the way back, he's letting me drive. And he goes, hey, stop. And we're near my house. We stopped the car on the side of the road in town. And we saw these like six things in the distance that did not look like planes. It was these silver bullet looking things. They were going really fast and they would just appear. And they would just disappear out of a certain, you know, in the sky. And then five more, you know, it was like one and then five more. And they followed the same path. They did not look like planes. And my dad, he's already like, he loves this shit. So he's just like, oh my God, I think we saw aliens. And then it happened again, like 4 years later, I'm driving with my buddy in Pennsylvania. And we're just like driving and like, see the same, like, dude, my dad and I saw this shit like 4 years ago. Like, holy shit, you know, like just the weirdest stuff, man. I don't know. And yeah. Then I love getting into like the pyramids and shit. Like I think Tesla or somebody believed that like the pyramids at one point were like communication devices. So like we could communicate all over the world. So that's why the pyramids all over the world and the tips are like gold. So like they use like the electromagnetic forces of the earth and shit. And like you can like a phone basically, or like a
data. Yeah.
Dude. I love that shit, man.
I love that shit too, man. I geek out on that crap all the time.
But yeah, so there's my scary shit.
Hell yeah, that's great. I love it. And you know what? They always say too, like the people who like get abducted or that see aliens, like the aliens come back for them. That's why you saw them 4 years later. They're like, they're checking back in on you.
Yeah.
How many years has it been since the last sighting? Because you're due for another visit.
I got to be. That was 20 years ago, so.
Oh shit, you're overdue.
I'm way overdue.
Oh man. Nice. All right. Well, I guess it's time for Howie to tell us about a time where he has shit his pants.
Yeah.
Jake, you're just gonna have to do it, your little drop.
Just
Jake.
Do it myself or what?
Yeah.
Chicka 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 chicka. All aboard. Next stop, Poopersville. Bloop, bloop.
You sounded so Baltimore saying that.
Nice. That's what I was going for.
All right, welcome to Pooperville, hon. I'm going to go on down to Ocean City and get my Mitsubishi and make out with my boyfriend on the beach.
Is that Baltimore?
Don't forget to change the oil.
Oh, my God. That's your zone.
Yeah. I've strayed from that accent as much as possible. And it comes out sometimes. I hear it later when it's recorded or something. And I'm like, ugh. It's like you get those local car commercials and stuff, and it's just like you hear it hard, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. I want to look for that now. I'm going to have to like type it in because I'm not super familiar with it.
Remember the movie Hairspray?
Yeah.
Watch that and the girl's mother, the girl that plays the girl's mother, or the guy that plays the girl. It's a guy that plays the girl's mother. And then John Travolta, when they remade the movie, he played the mother. And he nailed the Baltimore accent. So watch one of those movies and you'll hear it. There's also two Maryland guys with Google Home on YouTube. You can look that up. Shit's ridiculous. Okay, Google.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. I've got two stories I can tell. One is probably more entertaining than the other. The first one is like, I think getting older. It's just a thing that happens. You don't stop dance when you're fucking eight, you know, it's like, it just continues through life that I've noticed. And, I was about to go on stage at some bar in New Jersey. It had to be New Jersey. And I was wearing like light colored jeans and white shoes.
Ooh,
of course. Right. And, just trying to look sharp and fresh, you know? And, the way it was set up is like, the bathroom was like a public bathroom. There's no bathroom in the green room, which is one of the worst fucking green rooms. If you don't have a bathroom in your green room, bro.
What was this place called?
It's a small place. It's called Anhope House.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little place in Stanhope, New Jersey. We've had great shows there. Just the amenities aren't as great.
Yeah.
Plenty of places like that. But anyway, so I'm like, all right, I got to piss so bad. So I like ran down. It was like 5 minutes before showtime. I run down, just run around the crowd through the back or whatever, go to like the parking lot out to the tree line area and just start peeing, right? And I'm like, oh, I got to hurry up because I got my ears in still and I can hear, you know, the RF's in and out, but I can hear like them checking. So I'm like, I got to hurry up. So, you know, you do one of those things where you like try to force your pee out. And yeah, I shit my pants. I shat. I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy fuck. I'm like 35 years old. Happened. I have to go on stage right now. Dude, I was like flipping. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have my trailer keys on me. So I had to call my tour manager like, bro, bring me the keys. Like, you know, got the keys, jumped in the trailer, changed my clothes, wiped, got the wipes out, did the white thing, put on my dark colored jeans, different pair of shoes, you know, just lucky. All that stuff with me. Oh man. And did the show. And it was just so like, oh my God.
That's so good.
The other one was, I didn't shit my pants, but I was in LA. We were in Hollywood. We played the Knitting Factory. And this was like 2006, 2007. And we were just, it was like our second time in California. And, if we played like the third room, it wasn't even the second room at the Knitting Room. It was like the third room is like the worst. And, I had to poop so bad, dude. I was going to shit my pants. I had to make, I ran into this public restroom and I shut the door and I looked and it was coming no matter what. I looked at the toilet and it had vomit all over it.
Oh,
vomited all over the fucking toilet seat, right? I was like what do you do? So like, I'm looking around and there's one of those tall trash cans, one of those tall industrial trash cans. And I'm like, I gotta do this. I fucking knocked the lid off the trash can, just dropped my pants. And it was a tall trash can. So I had to like stand it. I had to like lean it in, so like kind of lean it like this, so it's like a you know,
oh yeah.
I just let go into this trash can, and it was I felt so like, you just feel so like third world country, like just this is not I was just like, oh, all respect. It was gone for myself, like everything, you know? And you know,
sometimes you just got to fucking do what you got to do, man.
It's better than being on the floor. Right. And so like, so I'm like, shit, I wiped and I washed my hands and dude. And like, oh, while I'm going, there's a, it's like a unisex bathroom. And I hear doom, 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 doom. And there's like these group of girls that are trying to come in and I lock the bolt, the deadbolt, you know? And I don't know if I said anything or just like, you know, somebody's in here. But I heard him like, what the fuck? Come on, get out of there. So like, there was a line forming outside because there was like a club thing happening as well, like a club show happening. Dude, I fucking washed my hands. I opened the door and just tore out. I went through a whole crowd of people, just head down, like, and just ran as fast as I could. My brother goes in there 10 minutes later. He goes into the same bathroom. He had to pee. He goes to the toilet and he sees the vomit on the toilet. He's like, dude, the vomit smells like shit. Oh God. I told him the story later. He died. Everybody died. Oh. Not my proudest moment, man. Oh,
that, man.
That poor bathroom, dude. Fucking what a tragedy that bathroom is.
It was awful, man. But dude, it was either that or in my pants or on the floor, you know? Just,
oh yeah, you made the right choice.
Yeah.
You absolutely did the best you could do with that situation.
God, the backstage and or like the green room sitch that with no bathroom is just it's the worst.
It's your anxiety is just goes up. You're like,
you just know. Once doors open, you're just like, okay, well, I don't go to the bathroom anymore.
I guess that's done.
Yep. No. Oh, dude. I think I want to say it was at Toad's place or something. No, Toad's has a bathroom back there. Maybe like the altar bar or something. We were playing and there was one of those where the green room did not have a bathroom. And like you go out of the green room and then there's like this little hallway and then there's like a security guard. And then it's just public right there. You know, the security guard so no one goes into the green room. And then there's the bathroom right fucking there. So it's Toad's?
Yeah, it's Toad's.
Okay, it is Toad's, yeah. And it was the same thing, like, right before show, it wasn't me, but Jared. He was just like, dude, this is gonna happen. I have to go. It's coming, like, I have to go. And he went, and he got into the bathroom, but there was, like, a line of people, right? So then all these people in line, they saw Jared go into the stall, and, dude, we're all fucking laughing because we all knew what he had to go through. So we're all, like, peeking out the door looking and laughing and shit, and no joke, dude, we hear it from where we are. You hear some fucking dickhead fan just goes, Hey, Jared's in here taking a shit. Oh, no. Hey, Dirty J's in here taking a shit. Dude, it was so good. We still say it to this day. We're like, Dirty J's in here taking a shit.
Dude, the fans all, don't flush that, man.
Yeah.
Don't flush that.
Yeah, yeah. Let me get a picture with it. Oh.
Let me get a picture with it. Oh, dude. He's down there on the ball.
All the shit.
Oh,
that's fucking hilarious. Oh, I love it.
What else, man? Oh yeah, dude. Did you have a Bandcamp story that you wanted to tell, or
probably 5,000 of them?
I know. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things like where you get. I mean, so many things happen. You know, it's like it's so. Yeah.
They all blend together.
Yeah, things blend together. I mean, you know, there was the one moment that always sticks out that is usually a pretty good story is. Our first tour ever in 2006, we were out and we were probably like a month into it or so, 3 weeks into it. It was like a 6 week tour and, the van caught on fire and, it was pretty crazy. And I had Nick Hexum on my podcast recently and my story is nothing compared to his, like the 311 fire story is insane. Like they all nearly died. Like it was, the whole thing is engulfed, you know?
Wow.
Yes, it was, so like I was driving earlier that day and I didn't know how to drive a van and trailer back then. Like it was just, I'm doing like fucking 90 probably, you know, and probably on the phone at the same time. Just dumb, just stupid. And, I blew a hole in the transmission. And, so that happened. And later on, are we waving? We're waving. Oh.
What are you doing, Jake?
So like later on, we're JR is driving, and we I guess we had been spraying transmission fluid all over the exhaust and the trailer and all that all day and all night. And it got to a point where, you know, that thing gets hot. So yeah, flammable, you know? And so it's like 11 o'clock at night or something. And JR, like, he's like, pulls over really quickly. We're like, whoa, what's happening? He's like, get the fuck out of the van. And like, none of us are wearing, I'm like wearing just shorts, no shirt, no shoes, nothing like that. We get out. I jump out. So starts from here. Stop real quick. We jump out. I hit the grass. There's like thorns or something in the grass. So I'm like, ah, oh, fuck. Like, I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I'm like trying to get away from these thorns with my bare feet. Go to cross over the guardrail. My foot slashes across the guardrail and I slash my foot open. Blood squirts all over Scott's pants, his short. So I'm like, fuck, you know, like, oh God. I'm like, you know, this is all happening in a span of like 10 seconds. And then JR is in the meantime, he's like kind of like at the front of the van trying to figure out the fire extinguisher, because you should always have a fire extinguisher in your vehicle with you.
Oh yes.
And so he's trying to figure this out. And I'm still like, I'm standing on one foot, like fuck, I'm looking at him. I'm like, bro, what can I do to help? You know, like one foot, like I can't do, I'm no good to anybody. What can I do to help? And as soon as he says that, he hits the release or something, hits the thing. Dude, the fucking shit flies in my face 100 miles an hour. I get all this white shit all over my face from the extinguisher. Just, poof. I'm just like, ah, like in my eyes. So I'm like hopping around one foot, shit in my eyes, like, fuck, and like lay down on the ground. And then he just over there, just like putting the fire. There's flames shooting out the sides underneath, you know, like, and that's just a sight you never want to see. So yeah, it was just a crazy minute and a half, you know, of tour life.
Wow.
Yeah. And somehow we were able to, you know, there's a lot of like tire blowouts and things, axles break, leaf springs on the trail, all that stuff has happened to us. And somehow we're always able to find somebody or a shop that can take care of it that day. You know, like we've been lucky, you know? But yeah, somebody took care of it in like 8 hours and we were back on the road, you know, but it was a terrible night.
As you were describing that like chain of events, I pictured the whole thing as kind of a Simpsons cartoon. That's what it like looked like as you were describing it. Just the, oh no, what? Jump out. Ow, blood spray in your face, the white. I can picture that happening to like the nerdy Simpson character guy. Like who's the nerdy kid? The chubby kid?
The chubby kid?
Nelson? No, Nelson's Nelson. A jerk, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't remember, man.
I choose you.
Oh kid. Yeah.
Oh, that was fucking great.
That's fucking that's awesome.
Music would have been the topper, you know, just like ding 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 ding.
Oh yeah,
that's the kind of shit that, you know, people don't see, and then you know you're on stage that next day, you know, and the fans are just like woo, you know, and you're just there, and you're and you know what? Once you get up on that stage and you start playing and shit, you forget about all that crap, and you're it's just funny how the crap that the shit you do go through on the road sometimes, man.
It's true, man, and like there's so many like so many moments that I can think back to, like things that have happened to us, the things that we've been to, the, you know, where you either lose a bunch of money on something or you just spend an ungodly amount of money for, you know, for an indie band with no budget. You know, you spend $20,000 on a single for over 10 months thinking something's gonna go and it just doesn't work out. You know, things like that. You know, we drove 1,500 miles, you know, whatever, to Lincoln, Nebraska to play some radio show that didn't have a radio station attached. Like shit like that. Only we got paid and we just turn around and drove back home, you know, like things like that happen. And it really separates the, you know, the men from the boys, as they say. You know, I've seen bands break up over less things, and it's just like, well, I guess your heart and your drive wasn't in it to begin with. You know, when things don't pop in the first 2 years, if you can't handle that, you know, it takes a long time to break, you know, and some bands never break. You know, we never had like a break, you know, we just happen to do well because we have a pretty sizable catalog and certain songs just caught on, you know, we never caught like the radio wave or anything like that. And like, I was very happy to see, you guys when you exploded. It was like 2010, I think, is when,
I think it was something around 2010, 2009, 2010 or something. Yeah.
I remember Jared brought me, and we'll have to talk about this on my podcast too, but we can go deeper. But Jared, when we played that, remember we played the show in Mexico together in 2009? It was April 2009, and we played, it was like Sonora at Playa Bonita Resort. And we played together, and Jared brought me out to the van. He's like, dude, you got to hear the song we just did with this kid, Rome. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So took me out to the van, and he played it, and it was Lay Me Down. And I was like, play that shit again. You know, it's like, that shit's great. Like, let me hear that again. Like, this sounds awesome. And then, you know, what, like 10 months later, man, you guys are on the fucking radio. I'm like, holy shit, you know?
Yeah, that shit happened so quick, man.
You know, and you just never know. You never know, like, when you're writing your best, your hit song, like the one that's going to break. So I tell artists all the time, just keep writing. Keep writing and keep releasing, because you just never know, you know?
It's the truth, man. You got to stay busy and keep the hustle alive. And obviously, you know, do it because you love it and you're actually really, really passionate about it, because that's how you can maintain. Because if you're doing it just to be famous and make money, and then yeah, you're going to, if, and you don't pop in 2 years, you're probably going to quit. You're going to come up with some excuse or some reason why, you know, it's never going to work. And then you're going to bounce out because you don't actually enjoy it or love it. So, you know, at the end of the day, you have to really be doing it because you love it and you're passionate about it.
And that goes with anything. It doesn't have to be you're in a band. It can be if you want to start a cooking show, or you want to, you know, you're good at painting or whatever, you're a good photographer or something. You have to stay at it, and you have to come up with creative ways to get it out there. And it can't be something you think about money. And some people like get confused. Like when I explain this stuff, like some people are like, yeah, but it's like, I gotta feed the kids, or I gotta, like, some people are starting, they think they're starting late. It's never too late. Like, yes, you life gets in the way. You have to work a job. You have to support your family. Absolutely. But like, what are you doing with your spare time? Are you Netflixing? You know, are you eating cookies? Like, what is it? Like, work on your craft after hours, you know, mm-hmm. and get the sleep that you need. Like, nobody needs to sleep 10 hours. Like, that's just not a thing. Most people don't need 8 hours of sleep. I'm fine on 6 hours of sleep, and I feel great, you know? And, if I sleep 8 hours, I feel groggy and gross, you know? Everybody's different, but get the sleep you need, but also like work on the thing. Don't just like, I know it's like, You want to chill out after all the work day is over and you got the kids to bed and you've done the homework and you made dinner and like all the things that happen with life, especially when you have a family, you're that much more busy. But you can't, if you're excited about what you're doing, it's not going to feel like work, and you're gonna love to go down to the studio or whatever it is, back to your writing table or your drafting table, and you're going to feel good about it, you know. And then start a YouTube channel or start a podcast or do something, and you're going to get. Eventually you will grow something, you know, just put out something that people are going to want to come back to.
Yep. You know? That's right. Well, shit, man, I think we've touched all the bases today. Is there anything else you want to like plug or let the people know you got coming up, or?
You know, I'm just here in my basement.
Right on. Where do they find you on socials?
I'm everywhere, man. All the regular platforms, just Howie Spangler. I'm on the YouTube. I do my weekly show, Let's Hang Out, every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Go sub up, hit the like button, all that fun stuff. So I'll take requests. Just kind of like to chat with the audience and, you know, say hey and play songs. And then I'm on, you know, Instagram, and, you know, and then the band, same thing. Ballyhoo Rocks on most of the stuff, and we're on Spotify and Apple Music, and you know, all the big stuff, we're right. there
you'll find them. If you look up Howie Spangler, look up Ballyhoo, you're gonna find them. And also check out his podcast, Tales from the Green Room. Shit, anything else, Jake?
Dude, I think we're set, and I'm not pressing the drops, right? I'm just gonna let you take us out.
Nah, we'll take it out. Yeah, right, we'll thank you, Howie, man, that was awesome. I really appreciate it. Yeah, and I'll hop on yours anytime, brother. Other than that, thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a comment, give us a rating. It helps us out. Thanks again to Koi CBD. And go to our Patreon page if you want behind the scenes from this and every other episode. Peace out.
Hey, go get it. Howie, thank you, bro. Good to hang with you.
Boys, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Later, man.
Oh, yeah.
Later.
You.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.